Hello, Screeters. So I got some interesting feedback on the Anchorverse and why some people don't want to be involved in the RPG Anchorites, or whatever we're calling ourselves these days, using the Anchor app or whatever app you use to do your RPG or RPG adjacent or completely off the wall and away from RPGs completely as possible too. And what they were saying is they feel like it's too much of the same call-ins, and then it's just kind of like the same stuff over and over. And I'm not sure how I feel about that. That was always part of what I liked. But back in the day, I mean, we put some music in there, and some people do still. But I do have some call-ins in the background. But today, I think I just want to talk about a few things that I can remember from the past month since I put out a screed. I don't have anything negative to say whatsoever, so let's get into it. Oh, wait, I forgot my intro part. A lot of people are doing my intro these days, and that's cool. I don't mind it. It's all right. Flattery and all that. Today is October something. It is Sunday. I am Jason Hobbs, and this is Random Screed.
If he is up or down, his podcast still comes round. Hobbs is in his van. Don't turn off that sat nav, man. Random Screed, Random Screed. Don't know what you get, but it's what you need.
All right, let's start with a little bit of a system recap. On 10/18, my 52nd birthday, I had the opportunity to play in an Aces and Eight. It's not really a playtest because the game's already there.
Take the next right onto Watson Road.
It's the first time the majority of us had played it before. There were four players, including, but not limited. Oh, wait, it is limited to.
Continue on Watson Road for 1.5 miles.
Arlen Walker, Amy Lee, Carl Rodriguez, and Jason Connerly as the marshal. It was a very quick little setup. We were in town. We were mostly testing the rules. We're talking about aces and eights here, my fellows, which from what my experience was with the game, I like it more like is a little Boot Hill skirmish type game, but if it was co-op and there we each of us were only controlling our characters and then the marshal or the GM was controlling some other massive number of NPCs, I just feel like the game would be super bogged down. For its round or action economy, it uses a count-up system, which starts off with whatever initiative you roll, and then it goes up, and it just keeps going up until the scene is gone. So the GM or the marshal would count off, you know, 1, 2, 3, and you would say in the early when your initiative was, plus whatever action it was that you were doing. And now the actions you can do in this game is very similar to weapon speed, spell speed, weapon factors. All that stuff is what it's similar to me, except you don't reroll initiative.
In a quarter mile, turn left onto West Kesslinger Road.
There is no rounds. It just keeps going up, and whatever round that you happen to act on, depending on the action that you're taking, is when you go. So, like, acquiring a new target is 2 of these heartbeat phases. 10 of these little phases equal 1 second. So moving, increasing your
take
moving
the next
speed.
Left onto West Kesslinger Road.
Slowing down, stopping, diving, acquiring targets, raising your weapon, hip shooting. All of these things have their own little numbers that they're affected to and how many of these phases it takes to do it. So you just keep adding up. Now, like I say, if it was co-op and all the players were on the same team specifically, then, you know, it would just be whatever they're doing plus whatever the GM's doing. But the GM is going to have to cover all these
continue
people.
Continue on West Kesslinger Road for 1 mile.
And know when each of them are going to interact and with the rest of the situation, and it just seems like it would be a lot. I had a good time. We had a little role play, and then we had a little PvP action. It feels like only one character was actually killed, and I killed Carl Rodriguez's character with a one-shot to the heart. Carl, my apologies, buddy, but you kept on drawing your gun up, and apparently my character Brooke was not letting that happen. He didn't want you to have an opportunity to shoot back at him, so he shot you before you could. And I know that, you know, irritated you some, but sorry about that.
In half a mile, turn right onto Schrader Road.
I then got into a standoffish little combat with Arlen's character, shot him once, slowed him down a bit, and then he skedaddled out of there. And then Amy Lee's character shot my character once, and then I skedaddled.
Take the next right onto Schrader Road.
Then I skedaddled out of there, and Amy Lee's character ended up with the claim or the deed to Old McPherson's silver mine. So congratulations
to her.
Continue
on Schrader Road for 1 mile.
So further than this whole concept of the phases and the heartbeats and all that for the action economy is the idea of when you actually do shoot someone, you use a thing called a shot clock, where there's a silhouette of what it looks like, and then you take this transparent shot clock that is like a lot of circles within each other radiating out. So you would put the very, very center where you're trying to shoot, and then your attack roll tells you where it is. So like 24 is dead center, so anything better than 24
in half a mile, turn left onto Illinois 38 West
is relatively unused or it doesn't matter. But outside of 24, then it counts out with concentric circles, very like maybe a millimeter between each one or less, and it gets slightly larger as it goes. 23,
take the
22,
next left onto Illinois 38 West,
21. So as you can see, if you roll a 19 and you're going out on that circle, and then to see where it is on the circle, you would then pull a card, and then the suit of that card, it tells you kind of which direction, up, left, right, down from center you go, and then you use the concentric number for your to hit roll, and then that tells you kind of where it went.
Continue on Illinois 38 West for 3 miles.
Which seems kind of like a lot, but in some ways I almost feel like at the table this game might play a little faster because you don't have to mess around with shifting around that thing otherwise, but it wasn't terribly bad. I also have heard that this is relatively similar to Harnmaster, not necessarily the shot clock, which in my opinion is a terrible name because I'm a sports ball guy, so shot clock makes me feel like I only got 24 seconds to come up with my shot because it's limited, just like it is in basketball with the shot clock. But I don't know what the template should be called. I kind of understand why they called it a shot clock, but I feel like it's a bad naming convention. Would I play this game again? Yes, I would, but I love Westerns, and I think it would have to depend on how affluent the GM was with taking care of a bunch of NPCs in this game, because it could be very, 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 very sloggy, because you're only like moving 5 feet on certain of these segments or phases, and we started at the opposite end of, you know, a block, and it took a long time. We were in the 60s before we ran into anybody, it seemed like. Or at least I was. So, I don't know. But there you go. There is my Aces and Eights rundown. I'd like to thank all the players, and specifically the GM, Jason Connerly. And if you had any thoughts on it, let me know. Thanks.
Hey, Jason, this is the other Jason. Just want to call and wish you a quick happy birthday. I hope everything's going well, and I look forward to talking and gaming with you soon. Take care, my friend.
I wanted to take this moment to thank everyone.
Take the next right onto Airport Road.
All of their happy birthday wishes on Facebook, on Discord, on Instagram, on Twitter. It is much appreciated, and it made me feel loved, liked.
Continue
and,
on Illinois 38 West for 2 miles.
You know, better. So thank you so much, Jason, for that call in, and thanks to you all. You all know who you are. Thank you.
Yay!
All right. I'm tapping back into this episode, and I can say that I called it 10/22/2022 on 10/23/2022, but today is actually 10/24/2022. Yeah, there was some meaningless dribble for you, but, you know, I don't know what to say. The next thing I want to do is talk about GameholeCon. So over a period of Wednesday through early on Saturday, I was in Madison, Wisconsin at the Elite Alliant Energy Center for GameholeCon. I don't know how many of these I've been to, but I have to say this reminded me of the early days. It's one of the best ones that I've had. I was without any sidekicks. I didn't have my buddy Bird with me. He has since moved to Florida. I didn't have my cousin Hawk with me. He decided to take a year off. I'm not sure he's glad about that decision, but that is the decision he made. I really found the convention interesting because of my new side. I shouldn't say sidekicks. I felt more like I was their sidekick, to be honest. But there were like four guys that had never been to a con before, and they traveled from different distances, including Seattle area, Denver area, and I'm trying to remember. I don't know where Wayne's from, but basically guys that hang out on Gaming and BS, the podcast, Discord. Even though the podcast has ended, the Discord continues, which is kind of cool in some ways. Like, they got together, they're happy they're there, and they do a lot of gaming together. Sean P. Kelly hung out with us quite a bit, and it was great fun. I ran Kalmata, which is my legendary Kalmata OSE game, and it was a pleasure. Aaron Coleman of the Coleman Show was there, and I hadn't seen him in a while. I finally got to give him his book from Raven God Games. I can't remember what it's called right now, but it's basically a white box Cthulhu version, so that was a good thing. Got to see so many people. I actually used the creature that Jason Connerly created on Nerds RPG Variety Cast during the OSR October, when he used random esoteric creature generator by Raggy, I don't really know how you're supposed to pronounce it. And I told him that I thought the creature was cool, and it was so cool I actually used it in the adventure. And I think it was appropriately disturbing and a joy to all. That thing is pretty cool. It really kind of gives you that DCC feel of monsters being individual creatures as opposed to something more or less than that, meaning, you know, your whole subcultures of all these creatures, which I kind of use that too. But anyways, it was kind of funny because when I do the Legendary Kalmata at conventions, I'm taking an open West Marches table and shifting it into a Kalmata, into, not a Kalmata, obviously it's Kalmata, but into a convention game, which is usually considered railroady. I've talked about this previously after my North Texas debacle of running the Weeping Man and how well that Kalmata game went. So you just got to really lean into the conventions that you're doing. You do a good job of explaining the conceit, and I do narrow it some where, because a lot of these players have never seen Kalmata, they don't have any of the background information that helps, you know, lead where you want to go. I do give them the map that was by either James Richards or, Mighty Mac or something like that, another guy that was playing Kalmata and hanging out in the Discord. They each did their own maps of Kalmata, which is cool because then they're player generated. And you can't beat that in a West Marches game. But basically, I gave them two opportunities of rumors. One being some sort of strangeness going on around Ape Rock, which is in the hills a few days east of Sindonor. And then the other being another God's Hollow or a cenote being found near the other God's Hollow, which I don't remember what it was called, but no one's really been around those in years, real time or game time. So I thought it would be cool to introduce another one of those. They did not go for that, though. They went for Ape Rock and were almost immediately engaged with a Salvin merchant, Master Zhang Zhuang, and it reiterated or emphasized the idea that one of the things I'm really good at in a game is making memorable NPCs. And rarely do we have a lot of NPC action.
You have a mile. Keep left to stay on I-355 North.
In many of the games that I run, because, you know, you're in the wilderness in a dungeon crawl, you don't. But I guess that the few times that you do have that opportunity, you should really lean into it. And lean into it, I did. It was a really good time, and I think it...
Keep left to stay on I-355 North.
...made an interesting impression on the players. So, I also ran Cinerarium of the Sin Eater.
In half a mile, merge onto I-290 West.
I didn't have a great opportunity to do the thing that I wanted to, which was a bit of an urban crawl into Yon-Varsun in the city of Northgate in the Midland setting. But we got to run Cinerarium again, which reignited my passion in getting that published. And I'm working with the editor
on I-290 West for 6 miles.
And the layout guy and the artist and the cartographer. And we're doing it, man. It's really cool. And I'm excited about when it'll eventually come out. Three guys that were there had never played. Oh, all four of them had never played LFG. And I'm not sure they fell in love with it. But I have to admit, I was kind of low energy. I didn't get a lot of sleep. I went to bed pretty late. I got up early to do more prepping. And that's when I realized there was no way I was going to be prepared to run what I wanted to run, so let's run something that I know. All in all, I think it was, you know, an okay game. It was decent. None of the players were really super fun or really delved into their characters, so, and I wasn't high energy, and when you have none of that from anybody, it almost feels like going through the motions sometimes. So I don't think it was nearly as cool as the Kalmata game was. And I don't think it was system. I think it's just, you know, just the circumstances that went into it. There's a lot of things that go into how good a game is. And the one was better than the other, in my opinion. It would be hard to tell what they think because none of them were in the other game. Only I was the figure that was in both. But I do feel responsible for not being as... motivated or as energized as I could have and probably made the LFG game better. I also got to play Weird Frontiers game, which was really cool because it was Weird Frontiers and David Beatty wasn't involved in running the game or playing the game. So I thought that game was a super railroad. It's something about the cradle. I don't know what it's called, but Brimstone Cradle maybe. But it was fun nonetheless. It's hard to beat, you know, hanging around and shooting guns at people. I got to play a Tommyknocker, which was the same character class I played in the very beginning, the first time I experienced Dark Trails five years ago at GaryCon. So kudos to that GM and the other players. It was a good time. I also got to play Easy D6, which I guess is hankering for an Ales version of something or other. I'm not positive. It's kind of loose narratively. It's a more narrative game with some loose, simple rules, but nothing wrong with it. I don't have any big complaints or anything like that. It was fun because it was an off-the-grid game with Sean P. Kelly, Harrigan, Hoos Carl, and Mirko. And we had fun. We chewed the scenery pretty good. So that was neat. And that's all I played. But I got to eat, go out to eat each night. And a lot of hanging out. The Gaming NBS party was a pretty good... There was only 12 or 15 people there, but... You know, when you don't really know those people or very much or had never met them, only Discord with them. There's a lot of things that you can talk about. So all in all, Game Hulk-On, two thumbs up from this guy. It was quite enjoyable. And I guess, until next time, take it away, TJ. It's better to burn out than to fade away.